So the Ahl al-Sunnah, most of the Ahl al-Sunnah are upon the middle and correct position. But as for shirk, major kufr, that if a person commits that, it takes him out of the religion. And it's obligatory upon us to declare and hold that he has left the religion, that person. But as for that which is less than shirk, less than major kufr, even if it's major sin, even if it's sin, then they do not hold that person has left Islam, as long as he doesn't declare it lawful what he's doing. He's just committing that thing, that major sin or that sin. And the Ahl al-Sunnah do not put him outside Islam. Rather, they say he is a believer who is deficient in his iman. His iman is reduced by that sin. But he is still upon Islam. So the Shaykh mentioned that the Khawarij, what the Khawarij do on the one extreme, they take those texts of Wa'id, the texts where there is a threat. Whoever does such and such, then there's a punishment of fire upon him. Whoever does such and such, then the punishment is such and such. They take those texts and they apply them. Or that whoever does such and such, then he has departed from Iman and the like. They say, whoever does a major sin, then he has left Islam. He's a kafir, a disbeliever. And they don't take, and they leave aside any of the texts with regard to al-wa'ad, a promise of reward for the believers. And on the other extreme, the murji'ah, they do the opposite. They take hold of the texts of wa'ad, textual promise. That whoever does such and such or says such and such, then he is a believer. And they leave aside the texts of the threat. But the Ahl al-Sunnah take hold of both. Then point number 42, you began point number 42, with regard to the names and attributes of Allah, the Most High. Al-Asma wa Sifat. And Shaykh al-Fawzan summarized the point by saying that the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah affirm Allah's names and attributes. They affirm them as they occur upon their reality, and they do not interfere with them with their intellects. They don't bring their own thinking into the matter of Allah's names and attributes and say Allah is to be declared free of this. And when there is a text affirming something, they do not interfere and say, rather Allah is declared free of that. Or this is tashbih, this is likening the creator to the creation. Such things as is said by the Mu'abtila, those who deny Allah's attributes, when they are faced with many of the texts of the attributes, that's the like of what they say. They say, no, we can't affirm this, because Allah is to be declared free of the like of that. Or this would mean likeness of the creator to the creation. So they deny those texts or interpret them away. Likewise, the people of the Sunnah, they do not go to the other extreme either, the extreme of tashbih, which is owned by the mushabbiha, those who liken the creator to the creation. Those who say that Allah's attributes resemble and are like the attributes of the creation. No, the people of the Sunnah remain free from that, from saying that. So the Mu'attila, on the one extreme, they go to extreme in tanzih, in declaring Allah free of imperfections, to such an extent and beyond the limit that they declare Allah to be free of his attributes, so those attributes that he has affirmed for himself. And on the other extreme, the Mu'attila, those who liken Allah to the creation, they go to extreme in affirming, go beyond the limit in affirming, to such an extreme that they affirm the attribute, that they affirm it as being like the attributes of the creation. The Ahl al-Sunnah do not do either. Rather, the Ahl al-Sunnah, they affirm the attributes of Allah ithbatan bila tashbih, with affirmation, but does not involve likening him to the creation. And they negate from him that he is like the created beings, declaring him free, but without denying his attributes. Then Imam al-Barbahari, the next part of what he said, he mentions a number of examples from the Ahadith in this regard. So that's where we reached last time. The saying of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, in the continuation, نحو قول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قلوب العباد بين إصلعيني من أصابع الرحمن عز وجل وقوله إن الله ينزل إلى السماء الدنيا وينزل يوم عرفة وينزل يوم القيامة وإن جهنم لا يزال يطرح فيها حتى يضع عليها قدمه جل ثناؤه وقول الله تعالى للعبد إن مشيت إلي هرولت إليك وقوله خلق الله آدم على صورته وقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأيت ربي في أحسن صورة وأشباه هذه الأحاديث فعليك بالتسليم والتصديق والتفويض والرضا ولا تفسر شيئا من هذه بهواك فإن الإيمان بهذا واجب فمن فسر شيئا من هذا بهواه ورده في بعض النسخ أو رده فهو جهمي. The saying of Imam al-Barrahari rahimahullah, such as, so the beginning that we had last time, and whenever you hear something from the narrations which your intellect cannot fully comprehend, then the part that we didn't reach, such as the saying of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hearts of the servants are between two fingers from the fingers of the Most Merciful, the Mighty and Majestic. And his saying, Allah descends to the lowest heaven, and he descends on the day of Arafah, and he will descend on the day of resurrection, and that the hellfire will continue to have people cast into it until he, the Majestic in praise, will place his foot upon it. And the saying of Allah the Most High to the servant, if you come towards me walking, I will come towards you running. And his saying, Allah created Adam upon his image. And the saying of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw my Lord in the most excellent form. And the like of these ahadith. Then upon you is to submit, and to believe, and to consign the how, meaning to Allah, and to be pleased, and do not and nothing should be explained from this based upon your desires, or rather, and you should not explain anything from this based upon your desires, since having iman in this is obligatory. So whoever explains anything from this based upon his desires and rejects it, then he is a jahmi. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, he continues his explanation on what occurs here on page 278. Mentioned the first of these narrations, he said, like قلوب العباد بين إصبعين من أصابع الرحمن عز وجل, such as the hearts of the servants are between two of the fingers of the Most Merciful, the Mighty and Majestic. And firstly, as a side point here, this hadith is part of a hadith reported by Muslim. That's hadith 2654 from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma. Shaykh al-Fawzan said with regard to this hadith, you should affirm al-asabi', you should affirm the fingers for the Most Merciful, as occurs in the hadith. And you should not say that they are like the fingers of the created being. For this is tashbih. This is likening him to the creation. We declare Allah free of it. Rather, we affirm it as befits the majesty of Allah, the perfect and most high. Not like the fingers of the created beings. And he mentions the next issue. He said, and we affirm the Hadith Qudsi, in which Allah the Majestic and Most High says, Man atani yamshi ataytuhu harwalatan. Allah the Majestic and Most High says, whoever comes to me walking, I come to him running. In a footnote, they mention this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, And the reference in Al-Bukhari should be hadith number 7405. And the reference in Muslim is hadith number 2675. From a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Fawzan said, meaning, whoever hastens towards my pleasure and towards obedience to me, then I will hasten to forgive his sins and to carry out his needs. So the meaning of harwala, running, is not the meaning that is well known with us, but rather it is explained by the end of the hadith, by his saying, لَإِن سَأَلْتَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ لَإِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ وَلَإِنِ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. That if he were to ask me, I would certainly give to him. And if he were to seek my refuge, I would certainly grant him refuge. So Shaykh al-Fawzan is explaining the first part of the hadith, whoever man atani yamshi ataytuhu harwalatan, whoever comes to me walking, I will come to him running. He explains it in the light of the last part of the hadith. If you were to ask me, I will certainly give to him. And if you were to seek my refuge, I will certainly grant him refuge. He said, so the meaning of al-harwala here is hastening to carry out the needs of his servant, just as the servant hastens to the obedience to Allah. So does the servant run in reality or in meaning? The Shaykh is indicating that, just as the hadith indicates, the servant does not literally run towards obedience to Allah, rather he commits acts of obedience to Allah. He just performs acts of obedience to Allah. So therefore, the Shaykh says at the end of the hadith explains the first part with regard to the meaning of harwala here. It means Allah the Most High is hastening to carry out the needs of his servant. As a side point here, that whether al-harwala, it can be very loosely translated as running, whether it's to be understood literally, or it's to be explained, as Shaykh Fawzan mentioned, in the light of what occurs in the end of the hadith, then, just as Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, said, this was also said by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in Majmu' al-Fatawa. And likewise, you'll find in the explanation of Shaykh Sarih al-Sheikh upon al-Wasifiyyah of ibn Taymiyyah, the same explanation. He explained that here, in this particular hadith, harwala means Allah the Most High is hastening to carry out the needs of his servant and to forgive him. However, there are others from the people of knowledge who affirm al-harwala, literally, roughly translated, running, they affirm that, these other scholars, they affirm that as an attribute for Allah the Most High, as is apparent. From them was Imam ad-Darimi in his refutation of al-Marisi. Likewise, from the present-day scholars, Sheikh bin Baz, rahimahullah, in his fatawa, Fatawa Nurun al-Darb. Likewise, Sheikh Muthimin in his fatawa, and in his fatawa al-Aqidah, and in his book al-Fawaid al-Muthla, and Sheikh Ubaid in his explanation, he agreed with that as well. Likewise, the Saudi Lajna also, and likewise, Sheikh al-Albani in Silsilat al-Huda wa Nur tape series. Therefore, all of them affirming this as an attribute for Allah, as befits His Majesty. Likewise, Sheikh Salih al-Suhaimi, hafidhullah, he said in his taped explanation, he said, with regard to the attribute of al-harwala, actually running, he said, so the Salaf had a great deal of speech concerning it. However, what has most right in the matter is that we should have iman in it, as befits the majesty of Allah. We affirm it as an attribute for Allah as it stands. He said, and it is a proof for his responding to his creation. And we affirm the attribute, and what's necessitated by the attribute is that Allah indeed responds to his creation. So what is indicated by the attribute and its effect is reward, is his giving reward. Then he had some speech, he said, so affirming the attribute of Al-Harwala, running, has more right than the saying of those who say that it means just giving reward alone. Even though we say that that is what the necessitate, that's what the attribute necessitates Allah, is what's indicated at the end of the hadith, it necessitates Allah rewarding his servant. However, we do not say that that's what the meaning of the attribute, rather we affirm the attribute as it stands, with what's apparent from it, as befits Allah the Most High's majesty. We affirm for him Al-Harwala, literally running, as befits his majesty. Then to continue with what Shaykh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, said, he said, so having mentioned this point, so this contains a refutation of some of those who are over hasty in affirming Al-Harwala, running for Allah. And this is a case of Af'alul Muqabala. It's a case of actions which are done as a response. Those actions where the servant has done something, so Allah the Most High responds to it. And he gives some examples from ayahs. He said, just as He the Most High said, فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ. Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th surah, ayah 79, with the explanation. So they, the disbelievers, they mock at the believers. Allah will mock at them. And Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentions the second ayah. He said, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ اللَّهُ يَسْتَهْزِئُ بِهِمْ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayahs 14 to 15. In the context of the hypocrites, the saying of the hypocrites. The explanation that they say, we were only mocking. Allah will mock them. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentions a third ayah. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 100, or rather ayah 54. The explanation, and they plotted, and Allah planned. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, mentioning a principle. So it is obligatory to have awareness of these tremendous principles, so that a person may be upon clear insight and be aware of the way of the position of the Salaf with regard to it. Those who were firmly grounded, or rather those who were more firmly grounded than you and had more knowledge than you. And a person should not be independent, should not try and make himself independent with his own understanding and his own intellect, and affirm for Allah things that he does not know about, based upon what is apparent, or based upon some unclear things. When there are decisive evidences which explain and clarify them. So it is obligatory to refer that which is unclear back to that which is clear. And only those who are firmly grounded in knowledge will be guided to doing this. So it is obligatory upon the student of knowledge and the beginner that he should not be hasty in these matters. Rather, he should yatawakkaf, he should withhold with regard to them. He should stop, withhold, wait, stop. He should withhold with regard to them, and he should learn how he is to understand them upon the way, upon the methodology of the Salaf, and upon the clear and correct way. And the Salaf, the predecessors, did not fall short in making the truth clear and in laying down principles and regulations. However, this requires learning and it requires understanding. Then he said, mentioning the next attribute brought the author, rahimahullah, he said, and the like of this also is his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَنْزِلُ رَبُّنَا إِلَى سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. Our Lord descends to the lowest heaven. In a footnote they mentioned this hadith is reported by al-Bukhari in his Sahih, and the reference there should be hadith number 6321, and reported by Muslim in his Sahih as hadith 758 from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He said, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions the list of narrations brought by the author and the like. He said, وَيَنْزِلُ عَشِيَّةَ عَرَفَةَ, and he descends on the evening of Arafah. In a footnote here, they mentioned this is reported by Muslim in his Sahih, hadith 1348 from Aisha, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no day when Allah frees more slaves from the fire than the day of Arafah. And he indeed draws close. Then he boasts about them to the angels and says, what do those people want? He said, according to the next hadith, يأتي يوم القيامة, he will come on the day of resurrection. Again, in a footnote they mention, he the Most High said, هل ينظرون إلا أن يأتيهم الله في ظلل من الغمام والملائكة وقضي الأمر وإلى الله ترجع الأمور. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 210, with the explanation, do they but await that Allah should come to them, screened by clouds, and the angels come, and the affair will be finished, and to Allah return all affairs. And likewise with regard to Allah the Most High's coming on the day of resurrection, it occurs also as a side point in a hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, reported by al-Bukhari as hadith 806, and Muslim as hadith 182, the long hadith contained the wording وَيَأْتِيهِمُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, contained the wording, and Allah will come to them, He, the Mighty and Majestic. And Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions the next hadith, or next part of the hadith, next part of the hadith, وَيَجِيءُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لِفَصْلِ الْقَضَاءِ بَيْنَ عِبَادِهِ. He will come on the day of resurrection to carry out judgment upon his servants. In the footnote they mention evidence for that. He said, he the Most High said, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. Surah Al-Fajr, 89th Surah, Ayah 22. With the explanation, and your Lord will come, and the angels in ranks. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, we affirm these matters for Allah upon their reality, upon their haqiqah, upon their reality, without interfering by defining the kayfiyyah, by defining how. So we do not burden ourselves with awareness of how He will descend and how He will come. So the kayfiyya, the how, we do not enter into it. But as for the meaning, then it is ma'qul, it is understood. And therefore when Imam Malik was asked about how al-istiwa, how the ascending is, and the questioner said, Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa, Surah Taha, 20th Surah, Ayah 5, with the explanation, the Most Merciful ascended over the throne. Then the questioner said to Imam Malik, how did he ascend? Sheikh said, he was asking about kayfiyyah. He was asking about how it is. So Malik, rahimahullah, said to him, al-istiwa'u ma'loom. The ascending is known. Sheikh Razan said, meaning, ma'loomun ma'nahu, known with regard to its meaning. وَالْكَيْفُ مَجْهُولُ وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهِ وَاجِبُ وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْهُ أي الْكَيْفِيَّ بِدْعَةٌ. So Imam Malik said, after saying the ascending, the istiwa, the ascending is known, and how is unknown, and having iman in it is obligatory, and asking about it, the Shaykh said, meaning asking about how, is bid'ah, is an innovation. Sheikh Al-Bazan said, this is the sound methodology in the like of these affairs. A quick side point there, Sheikh Salih al-Sahimi, hafizahullah, in his explanation, he mentioned a list of attributes, Allah's hand, a number of attributes, and he mentioned that he applied the same principle to each one. He said, we say the same with every single attribute of Allah the Most High. If we go to Allah's hand, for example, we say the hand, the meaning is known. The how is unknown. Having iman in it is obligatory. And asking about how, is an innovation. Same with every attribute, same principle. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, likewise, affirmation of as-sura, a form for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. In his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ آدَمَ عَلَى صُورَتِهِ. Allah created Adam upon his image. In a footnote they mention this hadith is reported by al-Bukhari in the Sahih, and the correct reference should be hadith number 6227, and reported by Muslim as hadith 2841 from a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Sheikh said, and in a narration ala surat ar-Rahman, on the form of the Most Merciful One. In one narration of this hadith, that Allah created Adam upon his image, in one wording it states that Allah created Adam upon the image of the Most Merciful. In a footnote here, they mention this report, where it directly states the form upon the form of the Most Merciful. This is reported by Al-Tabarani in Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, and by Al-Harith ibn Abi Usama in his Musnad, and by Ibn Khuzayma in Kitab al-Tawheed, from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah. They say, and it was declared authentic by Imam Ahmad and by Ishaq ibn Rahuwayy, as occurs in Mizan al-Iqtidam of al-Dhahabi. And there's a brief side point here. Some of the people of knowledge, such as Ibn Khuzayma and some others, they declare this wording to be weak. And likewise, Sheikh al-Albani, he declared this wording, it directly states that Adam was created upon the image of the Most Merciful. Sheikh al-Albani likewise declares that wording weak. In Ad-Da'ifa, hadith number 1176, because of four weaknesses in the chain of narration. Ibn Khuzaymah himself pointed out three of the weaknesses, and Sheikh al-Albani mentions a fourth weakness as well. Wallahu a'lam. So there's some difference amongst the people of knowledge with regard to authenticity of that hadith, and so on and so forth. Allahu Akbar. Sheikh Al-Fawzan, hafizullah, he continued. So we affirm as-sura, we affirm form, a form or image for Allah the Mighty and Majestic, just as his messenger affirmed it for him, in his saying, Ra'aytu Rabbi, في أحسن صورة رأيت ربي في أحسن صورة. I saw my Lord in the best form. This hadith I mentioned in the footnote is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and it should be volume 5, page 243. Got the numbers are slightly wrong around there. Volume 5, page 243, and by Tirmidhi in his Sunan, from a hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and it was declared authentic by At-Tirmidhi, and he mentioned Al-Bukhari declared it authentic also, and likewise it was declared sahih, authentic by Shaykh Al-Albani. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, So this means this hadith, Ra'itu Rabbi, saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ra'itu Rabbi fi ahsani surah, I saw my Lord in the best form. He said, this was in the world, seeing him in a dream. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his Lord in a dream. Fi ahsani surah, in the best form. Shaykh Fawzan said it contains affirmation of a surah, form or image, for Allah the Majestic and Most High, as befits His Majesty, not like the images of the created beings, but rather it is the surah, image or form of the Most Merciful, the Majestic and Most High. So these matters, we affirm them, and we do not enter into them, nor raise doubts about them, nor delve further into them. Then Shaykh Fawzan moves on to the next word of the author, وَالتَّفْوِيضُ, literally, and we consign or surrender the matter. Shaykh Fawzan said, what is correct is to perform tafweeb of the kayfiyyah, is to consign or surrender the how it is, not tafweeb of the meaning. We don't consign and surrender the meaning. To slightly clarify that as a side point, that Shaykh Fawzan is mentioning the position of the people of the Sunnah is with regard to attributes of Allah the Most High, then we say, just as Imam Malik said, as for the meaning of the attributes, then we affirm the meaning. Al-Istiwa, for example, Al-Istiwa ascending, we say we know the meaning, we affirm the meaning of Al-Istiwa for Allah the Most High. And all the attributes, the meanings are known. So we affirm the meaning. But as regards to how that attribute is, how is that attribute of Allah, how it is, then we do not know. So that is what we consign to Allah. We consign, we say, we give up on that. How it is, we do not know. We leave that to our Lord. Allahu Akbar. So that's the vision of the people of the truth, that we consign how it is to Allah. Whereas regard to the Mufawwidah, the deviant group of the Mufawwidah, then they say the meaning, they hear an attribute of Allah, they affirm the word, they say istiwa, we affirm the word for Allah, istiwa. The meaning, we don't know what the meaning is. We do tafweed of the meaning itself, we don't even know what the attribute means. We don't know the meaning of Allah's attributes, his yad, his wajh, they're just words to us, we don't know any meaning, it's like a foreign language. The Shaykh Fawzan is mentioned rather, the position of the people of the truth is the meaning, people of the truth affirm it. But the how the attribute is, that is what they do tafweed of. For that we say, we don't know. We consign that, we surrender with regard to that. How it is. Back to what Shaykh Fawzan said. He said, he's saying, لَا تُفَسِّرْ شَيْئًا مِنْ هَذِهِ بِهَوَاكَ. Do not explain anything from these with your desires. He said, rather, you must explain them with the correct meaning that befits Allah the Majestic and Most High. It should not be said that they are not to be explained. And that is what the people of Tafweed say, the Mufawwidah. They say you shouldn't explain the attributes. That's it. You just mention the word, you don't go any further than it. You don't say anything about the meaning. Don't explain the meaning at all. So Shaykh said, this is not correct. He said, it should not be said. They are not to be explained. Rather, they are to be explained and made clear. They are to be explained and their meaning is to be made clear. And tafweed, surrender, consigning, is just with regard to how only. So therefore you affirm an-nuzul, you affirm his descending, but you negate the kayfiyyah, how. Allah the Majestic and Most High comes on the day of resurrection to carry out the judgment, just as He the Most High said, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ. Surah Al-Fajr, 89th Surah, Ayah 22, with the explanation, and your Lord will come. And he mentions the ayah, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second Surah, Ayah 210, with the explanation. Do they but await that Allah comes to them, screened by clouds and the angels, and the affair is concluded. Sheikh Fawzan said, he the perfect will come to carry out judgment upon his servants. However, it is not like the coming of the created being and the coming of one of the creation. Rather, it is Ityan and Maji, it is coming as befits his majesty. However he wishes, he the perfect and most high. And he explains his saying, Bihawaka. You should not explain any of this, Bihawaka, with your desires. The Sheikh said, meaning, do not explain them without knowledge, without ilm. But as for your explaining them as necessitated by the evidences and referring that which is unclear back to that which is clear, then that, there is no harm in it. But as for a person who is a beginner or an ignorant person, then he should not enter into these very great matters and these tremendous matters, because this is a mistake and something very dangerous. And I see many of the youth who feign knowledge being bold upon the matters of Aqidah, and they start to derive things from them and to speak about them, and then they have enmity towards each other based upon these things, and they break ties with each other when they disagree. He said, so, O brothers, Allah did not burden us with these matters. Upon you is to proceed upon the methodology of the Salaf and to say what they said. The books of Aqidah are precisely written, and all praise is for Allah, and printed and corrected and have been studied and carefully checked. So do not introduce things from yourselves and understandings from yourselves. You have been sufficed having to do this. And he said his saying, فَإِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ بِهَذَا وَاجِبٌ. For having iman in this is obligatory. Shaykh Fawzan said, having iman in the names of Allah and His attributes and His actions is obligatory. It is binding, obligatory upon the servant. And from having iman in Allah is to have iman in His names and His attributes, as befits His majesty, He the perfect and most high. So the person who interferes in the matter, in the matters of names and attributes, either with ta'til, negation, or with tamthil, likening the creator to the creation, or with tafweed, claiming ignorance about the meaning, or by bringing explanation from himself, then this person has not believed in Allah with true and full iman. Rather, his iman is deficient. Then Shaykh Fawzan finished by saying, he's saying, فَمَنْ فَسَّرَ شَيْئًا مِّنْ هَذَا بِهَوَاهُ وَرَدَّهُ فَهُوَ جَهْمِيٌّ. So whoever explains anything from this based upon his desires and rejects it, then he is a Jahmi, one of the Jahmiyyah. Shaykh Fawzan said, the Jahmiyyah negated the attributes of, they negated the names and attributes. They denied, they negated the names and attributes because they explained them in accordance with what befits the created being. In the first stage, before they denied them, Shaykh mentioned the two-stage denial. At first, in their minds, they affirmed, in their minds, they explained these attributes of Allah to be like the attributes of the creation. So that led them straight to the second stage, to deny those attributes. So the result is that they, the Jahmiyyah, they denied the attributes because that first stage in their mind, first stage of likening the creator to the creation with regard to those attributes. So the Shaykh said, the Jahmiyyah, they negated the names and attributes because they explained them in accordance with what befits the created being And there is no doubt that Allah is declared free of that which befits a created being. So they initially likened him, and then secondly they denied, they negated, based upon their tamthil, based upon their having likened him to the creation. Since nothing was apparent to them from these texts except that which resembles the created beings, so therefore they denied them on account of that. But as for if they had just said, these texts contain attributes and names of Allah in reality, but they are as befit Him. They are not like the names of the created beings, nor like the attributes of the created beings. If they had just followed this methodology, they would have been safe and sound. But they were afflicted on account of their understanding and their desires. And the Jahmiyyah, this is an ascription to Al-Jahm ibn Safwan at Tirmidhi or As-Samarqandi. And this great deviant, well-known deviant, Al-Jahm ibn Safwan, was from Tirmidh, is ascribed to the town of Tirmidh, or Samarqand, the area of Samarqand. And he was the first one who manifested the saying that the Qur'an is created, and who had the saying that the names and the attributes are to be negated, and who said that Iman is just merely awareness in the heart, to the rest of his sayings of misguidance and disbelief. So whoever holds this belief, then he is ascribed to him. So it is to be said, this person is a Jahmi, in ascription to Al-Jahm. الحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد سبحان الله وبحمده اشهد ان لا اله الا انت